Well, we are, as you know, still in our in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 has really slowed our pace down. It's the they call it the Hall of Faith, or the Faith Hall of Fame, and it's talking about some of the patriarchs. And the thing about that is it would take one verse and speak about, just say one little thing about the patriarchs, and we're supposed to just go with that, but we don't just go with that, because it's a whole lot more to it than just the one verse. In order to appreciate the blessings of Abraham, it's good to talk a little bit about the life of Abraham. In order to appreciate what that verse says about Isaac, it's good to talk a little bit about the life of Isaac. And in order to appreciate Jacob and a little bit it said about Jacob, we really needed to talk about a little bit about Jacob and his life, where Jacob came from and where Jacob ended up. And it looks as though in that verse about Jacob that, wow, what a faithful man. Oh, Jacob, he was something else. But Jacob was a very... I won't lambast him, because it all came out good. But Jacob was like us. Let's put it like that. He was like us, and he had the same different sets of circumstances for the same kinds of issues that we entertain today. Nothing has changed very much. We're still the same. Man is still the same. And so we're in Hebrews again, chapter 11, this time 22, but I promise you, we will spend more time in Genesis than we will on this one verse. Father, thank you for your word today. Lord, help us. Some of us are downtrodden, some of us are concerned, some of us might even be worried. Lord, speak to our hearts today, and by your Spirit, please lift these heavy spirits from us. And so that we will walk out of this place rejuvenated according to your will and according to your purpose. Lord, speak through your word. Touch us that we might speak and hear your word. We need to hear from you, Lord. We need a word today. This word keeps us going in you. So by all means, touch us, Lord. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 22 says, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. His bones. Joseph. Genesis 49 and verse 1 through 32, Jacob called his 12 sons to him and blessed each one. He also gave instructions on how and where his burial should be handled. Now, these 12 sons are delineated. They are spelled out there in Exodus 1, 1 through 5. And these are the names of the 12 sons of Jacob, or Israel. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, and Joseph. And all of the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, but Joseph was in Egypt already. That's what Exodus says. Joseph. Joseph. Quick note on Joseph. Joseph was brought down to Egypt to Potiphar's house. This was after his brothers, through jealousy, took Joseph while they were in the field. His father had made him a coat of many colors, showing honor to Joseph. His brothers, when he was out in the field with his brothers, they decided, let's kill him. We hate him. Let's kill him. One of the brothers did not want that to happen, so he by sleuth came and did something different. But when they grabbed him, they took his coat off of him. They threw him in a hole, probably an empty well, and they left him there. when a caravan came by, of slave traders came by, they sold him into slavery. They took his coat of many colors, killed an animal, and covered his coat with blood, and then they took it back to their father, Jacob, and said, "We don't know what happened. No doubt a wild animal got him, and this is all we have left, is the coat that you made him." Well, as a parent, you understand what Jacob must have gone through when he saw the coat that his young son loved, probably wore every day, not on his son, but covered with blood. And as far as Joseph was concerned, his child was gone. His child was dead. That was his baby. That was the baby. That wasn't the oldest. That was his baby. So, back in Jacob's house, there was mourning, mourning, mourning for Jacob. But the sons were not mourning. The sons were celebrating behind his back. We finally got rid of that dreamer. You know, he had a dream. He said, "I had a dream, and I saw the sun and the moon and the 12 stars bowing down to me, giving obeisance." Well, number one, his father said, "Are you trying to tell me that me and your mother's going to bow down to you?" And the brothers weren't happy about it either. His dream was saying, "All of y'all are going to bow down to me one day." That's what his dream said. And when they caught him out in the field, they say, "Let's see what happens to his dream now. Here comes this dreamer. Let's see what happens to his dream now." These people who were related to him hated him because of a dream and because of the favor that he had. You do know that people hate you because of your dreams. You do know that people hate you because of who you are in this world today. Listen, they might not have come up and said it to you, to your face, but the world hates Christ followers. If you're following Christ, you hate it. Not by us, but by the world. And if the world loves you, then there's a question about your following Christ, because you look just like them. We're hated. But it's a good hate. It's a good reason to be hated. So let's go on with this and follow Joseph through here. Genesis 39:1. "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian now, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites." Ooh, y'all remember Ishmael, right? Ishmael was that brother that hated Isaac. So now the Ishmaelites, or his descendants, are now taking one of their brothers, half-brothers, and they are selling him into slavery, an Ishmaelite, which they had brought down with them. "And the Lord was with Joseph." What does that say? The Lord was what? Joseph was in slavery. Joseph was a slave, and he was sold as a slave. But the scripture tells us that the Lord was with Joseph, meaning you could be in the worst situation in your life, and the Lord will still be with you. "And he was prosperous." Joseph was a prosperous man. How do you be prosperous in slavery? Well, he was. He was a prosperous man. "And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand." He could see the prosperity in him. "And Joseph found grace in his sight and served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and over all that he had, he put into his hand." He found grace again. First, he found grace in the sight of his father. He's sold into slavery. God is blessing him. And he finds grace in the sight of his owner. "And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field." That's a type. Do you know your blessing? Again, don't go back, well, I don't feel like it. It's not about that. Do you know that even in this earth, what a blessing you are to be in this earth? Do you know how much evil is held back because of our presence? I mean, if we even go back, let's go back to Sodom and Gomorrah. Judgment could not fall until Lot was out of the land and his family that was going with him. The righteous would have to be out of judgment before judgment fell. So that means God would even withheld his judgment until he got his last righteous person out of that place. And then judgment came and destroyed that land and in the area round about, except for the one city that Lot fled to. That city was spared. Why? Because Lot was in that city. And you are on this earth. And you think it's evil now? It's not evil now. But when you're taken out of this earth, if God allows us to see, you will see evil covering this earth like never ever before in the history of creation. Because there will be nothing here to restrain evil. Because we'll be gone. We'll be with him. He's going to take us out of this. Folks say, well, I'm a post-tribber. That means that I'll go up with Christ after the tribulation. That means I'm going to go through the judgment of the tribulation. Why would God judge you with the tribulation when you're already judged in Christ? Christ took our judgment. And so that means any judgment God is going to do, he's going to have to do it in our absence. That makes me a pre-tribber. If I have to go through, I will, but I just believe based upon the scriptures that I've come to understand, God is going to take us out of here before his judgment falls on this earth. And so the post-tribbers can stay if they want, but I'm out. Come up hither. Let's go, Lord, you and me. And so it came to pass there in verse 5. He made him the overseer of everything. God blessed Potiphar because Joseph was there. He blessed him in the house, and he also blessed him in the field. He blessed his agricultural pursuits. He blessed his whatever type of livestock, whatever he had, he blessed it. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Potiphar took his hands off of everything that went on in his house. He didn't worry about getting food in the house. He didn't worry about taking care of the house. If something went wrong with the roof, he knew that Joseph was going to have it taken care of. If something, whatever things went, all he knew about was when it was time to eat. That's what it was saying. But his bread. That's all he knew about. About dinner time now. I'm going to go and eat and then come back and stretch out again because Joseph had it all under control. Now listen, this thing here says that Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. We sort of see that and we go, wow, he was well-favored with God. But this same thing was said about Rachel. Y'all remember Rachel? The woman that got Jacob's eye? The one that he went and pulled a stone away so that she could water her? The one that he worked 7 years for? And they got Leah and then he got Rachel and worked another 7 years, 14 years. He was a total of 20 years. In that land altogether. It says this in Genesis 29:17 about Rachel. First it says Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. It says Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. I believe this could mean was well put together. In other words, Joseph was a very good-looking man. He was well-favored. Along with that, he was historically said to have had a beautiful personality. I mean, he was just a very charismatic kind of a person. Listen, the beauty, and in those days, the language was interchangeable. We don't call men beautiful too much today, but the beauty of Joseph is celebrated all over the East, and it was celebrated at the time. Other religions have written entire chapters entirely about Joseph. And they represented him as being perfect, a perfect beauty. That's what it was said about Joseph. He was a perfect beauty, and he was the most accomplished of mortals, one wrote. It was possibly because of this that made Potiphar's wife. have that insatiable desire for this young man. History calls her Zelikha. We gave her a name, the historians gave her a name. But in my studies, I found that the women were crazy about Joseph. He was a good-looking man. He was well put together. I don't know if he was muscular or what, but he was what they call a fine hunk of man. Y'all women know anything about that? All right. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. He was a fine, good-looking man. And it drove the women nuts. Y'all seen him. I've seen some of the guys walk in and the women just go, I'm like, well, who? I don't even ask what he got. I don't get it. I just look and I say, well, he got that. He got this. And he got this. But that's the Joseph that we're talking about. That's why Potiphar's wife, she just couldn't take it. She was after him. Lie with me. Come, be with me. Spend time with me. She couldn't take it. In Genesis 49, Jacob spoke a blessing upon his 12 sons. But I want to take a moment here and just to read two blessings. One was to Judah and one was to Joseph. These were the longest blessings. He spoke blessings to his other sons or what was to become of them, but they were just little short sayings of the other 10. Even Benjamin, the youngest one, there was maybe a sentence that he spoke about Benjamin. But here in Genesis 49:8, this is what he said about Judah. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemy. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion and as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's coat unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. White teeth, good eyesight. Judah. It says here that in verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall be the gathering of the people. They were talking about the Messiah, and the Messiah came through the tribe of Judah. And so he spoke a powerful blessing to Judah. And then he spoke this to Joseph, poor Joseph who got sold and was separated from his family. In 49:22, Genesis 49:22, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above blessings of the deep, and that lieth under blessings of the breast of the womb. The blessings, look at all these blessings. The blessings of thy father shall prevail above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. What a beautiful word of blessing he spoke over Joseph. Why? Because Joseph lost many years with his family. And yet, Joseph rose to prominence even as a slave. He was sold into slavery. He prospered into slavery. He was there again into in the jail and interpreted some dreams. He wound up interpreting the Pharaoh's dream. Joseph rose to prominence as the second command in all of Egypt. And so, even this blessing here, which was later after that, even his father continued speaking blessings unto him. Now, in verse 29 here in Genesis 49, read the following. And he, that is Jacob, charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife, and there they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife, and there he said, I buried Leah. So he was saying, I want to be buried where all of my parents and my first wife was buried. The purchase of the field and of the cave that is therein was from the children of Heth. Remember Heth? Remember when Rebekah said, I can't deal with these children of Heth? They bought the cave to bury from the children of Heth. And when Jacob had made the end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost, and he was gathered to his people. So that's Jacob's end. He speaks these blessings, and he blesses his sons, or he speaks what was to come, and then he told them about his burial, and then he yielded up the ghost. Genesis 5:1 tells us that Joseph fell on his face, and he wept and kissed him. And while he was there in Egypt, Joseph commanded that they embalm his father. Now, Joseph was in command now. This is one of the most tender things here. 40 days were fulfilled for him, which is apparently the embalming period. And then after 70 days of mourning, Joseph requested leave of Pharaoh to bury his father in Canaan. He said, I want to go now. I want to bury my father. I want to be able to keep my word to my father and bury him in Canaan. And I'll come back. And Pharaoh gave him leave. And he said then, verse 6, go up and bury thy father according as he made thee swear. And in verse 7, Joseph went up to bury his father. And he went up with many servants and many folks from Pharaoh's house, and left, and they went. And they left the young people. His brethren went, but they left the young people. There were many chariots and horses. It was a large procession that they saw leaving. And they came to a place called the threshing floor of Atad. And that's, they said, beyond Jordan. And they mourned with a great and a very sore lamentation. And he made a mourning for his father 7 days. So when they mourned, they really mourned. Mourning is a very special time in anyone's life who's had a loved one to go on. I've heard people come back in 2 or 3 months and say, well, you should be over that by now. You should go out the door and leave me alone, and I'll be over it when I get over it. Mourning takes time. You don't just rush through it. I'm better now. You're pretending. You're pretending to be better. It takes time. That's why we have a thing called mourning. I always say at least 12 months, at least give them a year to get past the seasons and all of those familiar things. And for some 24 months, some 36. But listen, we want to be more sensitive to people that have had loved ones to leave. We want to give them all of the space and all of the time that they need, and not try to rush like I've seen some people do, try to rush people on with their lives. And they're not even over the what has happened. They're still hurting. And they try to rush in and make something happen and try to rush in and change them their thinking and rush in and change their heart. You can't do that. You give that person all the time they need, because it cuts really, really deep. Verse 11, and when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning in the floor of Atad, they said, this is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians. And his sons did unto him according as he commanded. For his sons carried him into the land of Canaan, and they buried him in that particular cave that he asked for. Joseph returned to Egypt, and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father, after he had buried his father. So Jacob was dead. But Joseph was left. Y'all remember his dream? Uh-oh. Verse 15 of Genesis 15, Genesis 50. Look at this. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. You know, they were walking around with a guilty conscience all those years. All of those years, they were worried that they would be found out. How can 10 or 11 people keep a secret? You know, that thing was known somewhere. But they say, we're in trouble now. Now dad is dead. He's going to get us. And they sent a messenger. They didn't even go. They sent a messenger to Joseph. They say, look, your father did command before he died. They didn't even go to him face to face. It says, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sins. For they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father, not our God, the God of your father. And you know what? Joseph wept when they spake unto him. It broke his heart. And then his brethren also went, and they fell down before his face. And look at what they said. Behold, we be thy servants. They bowed down, just as his dream had said. That was the same reason they wanted to kill him. The same reason they threw him in a cave, in a hole, or wherever it was. That's the same reason that they hated him and came against him because of his dream. And lo and behold, here they are. And the dream is being fulfilled. They are all bowing down to him, saying, we are your servants. We are your servants. We are your servants. You know, folks will hate you and hate you and hate you until they need you. Amen. You know, they will hate you and hate you and hate you until they need you. And things will be sometimes going so terrible and they don't know what to do. They say, you know, that man know how to pray. What man are you talking about? The man in that house right there. You need to go and ask him to pray for us. Man, I hate that man. I've always hated him. Well, if you want some relief, you need to go to him. They know who you are, even in your neighborhood. They know who you are on your job. They know who you are and whatever works or functions you do, wherever you go around in society, they know you. They see you and they recognize you. They might not say anything, but they know who you are. Verse. Yeah, and then we're called to do that, to pray for our enemies. Isn't that something? It's not as hard as this. But it is difficult, but it's not. It's not difficult, actually. Because with the power of the Holy Ghost in you, he will empower you to do it. And he'll touch you. And that's what we prepare for on a regular basis. We prepare for times like that through our prayers and through the changes that we do go through when we have things that bother us or things that we have issues with. When we apply the word or allow the Spirit to apply the word to our lives, he's really preparing us for what's coming next. And so we don't wait until then to start trying to get prepared. We're being prepared all the time. That's why we're walking by faith and not by sight. That's what it's about. In verse 20, it says this. Joseph said in verse 19, fear not. This is what he says. For am I in the place of God? That's what Joseph said. Am I God? As for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. That's what he said. That was his answer. Now, therefore, he said, don't be afraid. I'm going to nourish you. I'm going to feed your children. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. By faith, Joseph, in Hebrews 11, but we're going to go back in a minute to Genesis 50, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. Verse 22 of Genesis 50. Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. That means he saw his children's children of the third generation. And he also saw the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, his other son. And they were brought up upon Joseph's knee. What a wonderful end to a life. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God shall surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. But he made them give an oath. He made them give an oath that when they left Egypt, they would take his bones with him. But he said, by the way, you're coming out. Exodus 1, 5, and 8 says, and all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, that means Joseph and all of his 11 brothers, all of them had died, so that means time had passed. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. And so the promise was fulfilled. The land was filled with the children of Israel. But in verse 8, everything takes a different turn. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. This is when it changed. Acts 7, 17 and 19, Stephen, the first church martyr, says he was preaching to the Jews before they stoned him. He says, but when the time of the promise drew nigh, when God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end they might not live. That old Pharaoh, the new Pharaoh, wanted the Egyptian midwives to kill every male child that came. He says, they're going to overrun us. We've got to do something. So he told the midwives, from now on, if a male child comes forth, we want you to kill every male child that comes forth. Everyone. But the midwives didn't do it. They just couldn't do it against God's people. And he says, what is this you've done? Why haven't you followed my orders? They said, we're sorry, we couldn't. The Hebrew women are just so lively. Yeah, before we get there, the child is already born. And so they continued on. And see, this is the environment Moses came in. But Genesis 15:13, the Lord told Abraham, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. 400 years. Exodus 12:41, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. They were there close to 400 years after Joseph's death. Joseph said, when you leave, he said, oh, God is going to visit you, and you will leave this land. The man was talking by faith, because it wasn't going to happen next week or next month. But he was looking down and he was prophesying that God is going to bring you out. And when you go out, take my bones. Well, that should have been an indication there that he was going to be turned into bones by the time you left out there, see. And so he was speaking by faith. You know, by faith he made this statement. By faith. It was 430 years. Exodus 13:19, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For he had straitly sworn to the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones hence with you. That's Exodus 13:19. So the request of Joseph for the children of Israel was to carry his bones out of Egypt. It was granted almost 4 centuries later. His was a definite statement of faith. And that's why it says by faith in Hebrews 11:22, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Moses and the Israelites took the bones of Joseph with them when they left Egypt. When they left Egypt. But they still weren't buried until Joshua came into power. Why? Because Moses never entered into the promised land. So the bones were still laying around somewhere. I don't know where. But that was 40 years of wilderness wandering that happened after Moses came in and they disobeyed God. That was 40 years of wilderness wanderings and the bones were somewhere. They couldn't bury him because it was to take him into the promised land. I don't know if they had a mausoleum or something set up, but those are the bones of Joseph. But they kept their word and they didn't go in until Joshua, after the death of Moses, went into the promised land. Isn't that something? Joshua 24:32. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children. Joseph died hundreds of years before in Egypt, but gave commandment concerning his bones. Hundreds of years, that they should not rest in a grave until Israel rested in the land of promise. Now therefore, they were deposited in that piece of ground which his father gave him in Shechem. 4 centuries later, what he said came to pass. 4 centuries later. And so what that says is, you're praying for your relatives, praying for your children, you're praying for your mother, you're praying for your father. Doesn't seem like it's happening as fast as you'd like it to happen. But if God has promised it, he shall bring it to pass. Amen. Lord, thank you for the message concerning the faith of this man, Joseph. We'll pick up next week. Let's remember the lesson of Joseph. And the lesson of speaking blessings, y'all. When we studied James, we came across the part about the elders praying. So we stopped praying for folks when we studied it. So now we're praying about the blessings. Let's begin to bless one another. Words of blessing. Rather than, how about them no's? Say, I speak a word of blessing on your life today, my sister. I speak a word of blessing on you today. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Let's start doing that. Father, we thank you again for your word today, and we bless your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.